Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. It is Friday, the 6th day of April, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 9, starting at verse 1 through chapter 11, verse 47. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verses 1 through chapter 7 verse 17, and the New Testament portion is Mark chapter 14 verses 1 through 72. Check out the latest Bible studies and news shows and articles by The Watchman by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. The newest article he wrote is America, Social Change and Violent Overthrow. Through American social change, the enemy has taken the house, and the next goal will to be violent overthrow if it cannot take what it wants peaceably through deception. Americana, poor wayfaring stranger. There is a poor wayfaring stranger on the road in Americana today. Do you know who it is? Americana, poor wayfaring stranger that is on the road today in America. Do you know? Excuse me. Probably have missed him. Nephilim, the 13th floor, Lucifer risen. And these three events are here already. It is a battle between forces and the array of plots. Battles and plans are made. There are those who will tell you this. They know. Now deep within the 13th floor of the underground base, the secret is revealed. They don't advertise it, but they are giddy with the excitement because the best laid plans of men cannot stop them now. Check out Living as a Christian in A Lawless World. Paramount Prophetic Warnings to Christian Living in This Lawless World, plus 16 New Testament Apostolic Directives to help you make it through the evil days in which we live. Check those out and more at warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. Also on Twitter at #watchmanis216, #warnradio, or #WGS_watchman. And tonight on the show, Noahic Prophecy and End of Days, Part 4, Crossbearer. Today it is happening. Christians paying the price for their faith in Jesus Christ. The believer, the follower of Jesus, is finding just how much the world hates Christianity. It is in your face with the headlines of the ongoing Christian persecution today. Our Lord said that those who find their life shall lose it, and those that who lose their life for my sake shall find it. Today, the Noahic prophecies come to life as the wickedness of men take to persecution, hatred, and lawlessness. As in the days of Noah, so today we find the repeat of it occurring. Yet the unbelief is there in the world. They mock and make fun of Christians today from major news arenas, while overseas Christians are targeted and even murdered for their faith. Today, Noahic prophecies and the end of days are happening right before your eyes. So fasten your prophetic seatbelts and set your Bibles in an upright position, which is before your eyes, and behold, Stop being surprised at the ways things have gotten. We were told it would be this way. Stop being worldly, start being heavenly minded and in love with your Savior. Eyes forward to the cross and the Lord who is on the right hand of the Father. Our Redeemer comes, but first this important message. Hang on, it is going to be shaking and a bumpy ride. Your reward for faithfulness is ahead, and the Lord of glory rides the sky. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
Well, let's see. We got our major snowstorm out of the way.
And, oh, hopefully.
We got away with minimal snow. Got cold, though. How about up north to...
I think they got quite a bit more than we did.
I think they did, because when we were reading about this, this is part of the one that was going to head north and across the northern tier states. And so I don't know where it's going, but I can see it floating all the way to the coast over there.
Yeah.
But these things come in about the same time, just about every week they come in. And you can, and it'll do that up till the time that, summer gets here or spring. It gets late spring, you know. We've seen that as a pattern. And so, at any rate, we've got another weekend ahead of us. And
yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, been a busy week this week. And we had some major storms coming in, and they actually got rid of our signal. We lost everything around here, and they had trouble. They took them about a week to find the problem. We got hit last week, and then it came again this week, and it finished knocking everything out. And so we didn't. A lot of our systems were down. And so at any rate, they had to replace some equipment where everything was housed, and they got it back up and running. But a lot of this is older technology. They're looking to upgrade a lot of it.
But, well, I hope they get it done soon.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of infrastructure. You know, that's we've got a lot of projects here locally. They're upgrading a lot of things. Train tracks, they're upgrading highways that go over train tracks and over, overpasses, just a lot of infrastructure type things. It was a number of, wasn't too long ago. Matter of fact, it came in, they were talking about it when Trump came in. He was going to do some infrastructure because they needed it.
Yeah.
And, for a long time that we didn't do it. And another thing that they were talking about is Star Wars today. Because America is behind in the Star Wars, and they said literally there is a Star Wars race because Russia and China both have the capabilities of taking out our satellites now, the very ones that our military uses for everything, and also satellites that we utilize here in America for everything that you do. And they said unless we can upgrade them, and get these where we can protect our satellites, we're in trouble. And they just came out. This is with the Pentagon.
Wow.
They released it today. And, of course, with this big budget that Trump signed, and he signed it for the military part of it. That's what he said he did. He didn't like it, but he signed it for that. And the Pentagon came out in a major paper and was talking about the Star Wars, just one thing that they said really needed to be fixed, and they're going to start immediately. They're pumping billions of dollars into the space to try to pump it up and protect it because the threats from China alone, and I remember years ago, and it has been quite a number of years that China was actually shooting rockets off. There for a long time, China did not have the technology to guide their missiles and rockets. And then, of course, It was during the Clinton administration that there was a leak of technology, and actually China got some of the technology, and they've been able to develop this stuff. And so now we have today, you know, I mean, you start posturing against these nations, and if you ever go to war, they're going to take out all your satellites.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, that means no more Sirius satellite. You know, and you just can't have a war without Sirius. but at any rate.
So what was that article or that headline I seen today about North Korea is going to have the capabilities to hit the U.S. with a nuclear warhead by the summer?
Well, I don't know. I didn't. I wasn't looking at that one. I mean, I don't know. So
I didn't read the article. I just seen the headlines.
You know, it could very well be. I mean, they've already been boasting about a lot of stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, of course, you know, all these nations want that. And of course, when you get into Revelation and you see the prophetic writings in there, there is a lot of language in there that suggests that there is going to be major events that will occur that are likened unto nuclear exchanges. It's not going to destroy the earth, but it let's put it this way. It's not going to destroy it, but it is going to destroy it. You're still going to have life left on this planet. But when the Lord comes, prophetically, the Lord comes back, and it says this, to destroy those who have destroyed the earth. And you're not going to destroy the earth through traditional warfare. And even if you were using chemical warfare, you could destroy, people, soldiers, you know. The likelihood of destroying all life would be limited. But if you have an international nuclear exchange between countries like Russia, China, and America, just to mention a few, because India, Pakistan, North Korea all have nuclear capabilities, as does Israel and Iran. So, you know, a major nuclear exchange, now that could be like, you know, a total destruction, you know.
Yeah.
Total. And so it's not at all a scenario that, you know, if they ever do that, you know, and I've talked to people about this, and we've discussed it theologically, you know, and the point here is that it's going to be better to die in the exchange than it is to live through it, because by the time you get done, there's nothing going to be left. And you see all those bloodthirsty zombie movies and stuff. Well,
yeah.
You know,
Ick.
What you have left will be people that will be suffering from various stages of the nuclear weapons, which, you know, when you get the, you know, this radiation, you know, it causes various kinds of cancers. And
oh, yeah. It's
causes
horrible.
Your skin to fall off in various stages. So if you were on the outskirts, you may not die, but you would live in misery. There would be no doctors. I mean, the scenario is right out of the end days movies that they have with all the people walking around in clouds, a crowd, you know, they look like they're zombies and they want to eat people because they're hungry, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of scenario that this kind of plays. When you look at Revelation, you can, it does have language in there for something major, a cataclysm. And that cataclysm, there's only one thing that when scholars and theologians, I mean, when people deal prophecy like myself, you really look at, you do see that, nuclear. And that's not a good thing.
Mm-mm.
You know, and when we're talking about the Noah prophecy, now, I haven't even begun to deal with that, and I won't deal with that in this particular series. We don't need to deal with that. What we're dealing with is the practice, everything. See, when we talk about Noah, the Noah prophecy that the Lord said, as in the days of Noah, and they also mm-hmm. give the example of Lot. And, you know, societies were giving in marriage and doing all these things. And what links them, it is the end of days before the coming of the Son of Man, which links a whole bunch of prophecies and statements the Lord made about what it would be like. And so that's how you bring together everything in the Noah prophecies. They all come together under that one heading. Because the Noah prophecies basically points us that it is so wicked that man's thoughts are wicked continually. They're in rebellion against God. And it repents God that he made him at that time. And so all of this points to what it's going to be like. And it's specifically pointed out that they're going to be marrying and giving in marriage and doing all these things just like in the days of Noah. They won't see it coming, in other words.
Yeah.
And so this is the scary thing. You know, you're living, you don't know, you're going to work, and then just like that, you know, boom, it happens.
Oh, I know. Shocking.
And now that we have the Pentagon coming out and just warning you about a Star Wars type thing, well, you know, in a lot of them, like the real brilliant guy that died not too long ago.
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, he warned that Earthlings, that's one of the threats to mankind would be wars and mankind himself. And he even said that we're going to have to find another planet to live on by the time we're done with this one.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We're going to totally destroy it.
But we have another place.
You know, so... well, see, he wasn't operating on the principle of going to heaven. He was operating
right.
on the principle that God has laid down all the laws, and that God, like he said, even if there was a God, God wouldn't be needed because he'd already laid down all the laws, and they pretty much govern. And as human beings, you have to live within the laws God set down. Unfortunately, they're not going to do it, and they haven't done it. But at any rate, he was one of the ones, and there's a lot of them, and I've actually covered this, you know, done some research on their Mars thing that they're planning on doing. They're planning on going to Mars, they're going to actually send the first batch of rockets there. They're actually going to be robots, and they're going to land, and they're going to use robotic technology on Mars that is going to put together the bases and everything for man.
Huh.
And then man will go, and they will already be there, already be built, and then they can go in and live, and they will have the food, and they'll have to grow their own food, so everything has to be just perfect, and they will have to wait, if I remember right, 2 years for anybody to bring them supplies.
Wow.
If they run out of food, if they run out of water, if they run out of anything, there ain't going to be no help coming for 2 years.
Cancel my reservation.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not the least bit interested in that anyway. Thank you very much.
No, no. I'll take the Rockies and, you know, the Wind Rivers and, you know, our stomping grounds. Thank you very much.
I'm staying here on Earth.
Yeah, and if they blow it up, then that's fine. They can blow me up along with it, and I'll just go to heaven and be with the Lord. I'd much rather be there than stranded on Mars with some freaky Martian running around. Or some hairy Nephilim that decided he wanted to live there, too.
Yeah.
So at any rate, if you haven't picked up my new book, Steal the Darkness, I urge you to do that. Right now we have a major thing going on with one of our book people. They're going to be sending it out this week. It goes out to quite a number of people. There, it's going to be an ongoing promotion for quite a while now. You can find more out about it and some of the comments and everything. You can find that on Amazon, the book thing, and you can also find it on our website, danaglennsmith.com. So check it out and get the book, because we're going to be writing another one, and we want your input in it. And we've already had, we already have ideas from there are interested readers that want to input information about what we put in this next book. I already have an idea, already got all of them lined out, but I'm going to be looking for more ideas to put in from somebody, and those who get it in are going to be mentioned in the book, and we will also have a special gift for them of a book and things like that. So be sure to join it, and you can't have an input in the book if you don't buy the book and read it.
And know what's going on.
Yeah, and so at any rate, you can check that out. And it is on Ingram, and so if you've got, and Ingram is worldwide, and so you can get those through Ingram as well as Amazon. But at any rate, I'm going to go ahead and do this, Tower.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, we are in Matthew 10:35, and this is a really, a lot of these scriptures that the Lord talked about, a lot of times we focus on his miracles and the work of the cross, which is all important. But he did a lot of practical things to tell you exactly what he was. I kind of liken these to campfire talks. When you sit down around the campfire in our neck of the woods, you get to talking with people. They're out camping with you, and they're friends. You don't go camping with people that aren't friends. You go camping with people you know. So as you sit around the campfire, you begin to talk, and you can open up and tell them things. And so these talks are kind of like that. He's talking with people that is around him, that knows him, they're interested, and he wants to reveal to them some of the stuff that the others who come never hear. Because not everybody's going to be listening to this, because most of them, and he even told them, you don't follow me because of who I am, believing that I am who I say I am. You follow me because of the miracles, and you ate the bread. That was the miracles of the bread when they had followed him. And so there was a difference. He knew that people followed him just because of the miracles, just because of, I got in on that, I saw it, I ate the bread and all this. And of course, now we sit down in Matthew 10:35. And we've got about five verses there. And he says this, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me, and he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." Now see, this is just a portion of Matthew 10. Matthew 10, if you ever really want to get into some of the nitty-gritty of discipleship, get into Matthew 10. But see, in this verse, it's explaining a little fact about, "I have come not to bring peace, but a sword." And that sword is the Word of God. He is the incarnate Word of God. And he gave us the Word of God. And in the beginning was the Word, which is the Word of God. And the Word was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was not anything made that was not made by him. And when he comes again in Revelation, he'll have the Word of God written across him. So you cannot separate the Word from that, from the Lord, and also the fact that he'll have a two-edged sword, and symbolically, when we see him riding on the horse in the second coming, that illustrates the sharpness of the Word of God, which divides asunder and sharp. And matter of fact, we have that in Scripture, that the Word of God is a discerner of the intents of the hearts. It can divide asunder between the bones and the marrow. Now, if you've ever tried that, if you're a butcher, you just can't separate that out. Now there are people that take a beef shank, and they will cut them a certain way so that the marrow shows, and they will actually cook the marrow. It's a gourmet dish, but they can't cut the marrow out per se. They can cut away the bones now a little bit, but the whole idea here is that the Word of God can really get in there where you might think it's impossible, and take and carve out the intentions, find the intentions of the heart. And that's what the Word does. And so when the Lord came, there's no way he was going to bring peace. Now, he brought a way for you to find peace with God. And he said that, I give you my peace, not as the world gives, give I peace. And, we don't let our heart become troubled. We don't let it become afraid. We rest in the Word and trust the Lord, and we get peace in our hearts and souls during tough times. But see, there comes a time, though, even in all of life itself, and we've seen it overseas, and even in America, where people are fundamentally opposed to Christianity and what it means. And it's always been that way since the beginning, the Jews and others. Because when the gospel, in its powerful form, anointed form, with the Holy Spirit begins to move on a population, people that become saved, that repent, they get rid. I mean, they're not going to be, and I use Ephesus, the worship of Diana, and there they had silversmiths, and they had other kind of smiths, but the silversmiths would make these images of Diana for them to worship, and it was really big. These silversmiths made a lot of money, and when the Apostle Paul and the others came in and was preaching, and a revival hit, and the book of Ephesians is one of the greatest ones there was, for you can read that and really find the gospel and the power. There's a lot of meat there, and so they really got turned on to the Lord. I mean, just way from Diana, and they, God just did a work. See, that's the way it is. And the world don't like that. And the people that are making money off all these other idols don't like that. And the other religions don't like it. And that's one of the reasons that the Jews themselves persecuted Paul and the other apostles, is because, just like the high priest, the reason they came after Christ, because they wondered, he can raise people from the dead. If this continues, nobody's going to want to be a Jew. They're going to want to go after this guy. And they couldn't have that. And then they were afraid that if they did go after the Lord, the Romans would come in and take away what they have, because they were able to have their temple. They were able to worship. They were able to keep their own little power structures going. And that's the way the way Rome did it with all of them, that once they conquered you, if you would operate in your religion or whatever it is, even in your government and civic affairs, but you acknowledged Rome and you gave them their tribute and you allowed their Roman soldiers in and you didn't give them any trouble, you wouldn't have any trouble from Rome. They would assimilate you into their system and you'd be ruled by them. And this is how Rome got to be so big at the time. And, of course, the Jews didn't like that, because they felt that the Lord was a threat. And his gospel is a threat. You send in someone that's anointed of God to preach the Word of God, And I guarantee you that there's going to be a sinner somewhere that's going to hear it and going to repent. And when he does, he's not going to be drinking your booze. He's not going to be taking your drugs. He's not going to be a thief anymore. And a whore isn't going to be a whore anymore. And a pimp isn't going to be a pimp anymore. Do you get my drift? Because all things are passed away. Now, David Wilkerson is one of the premier ones. He's gone now. But he made headlines when he went on the streets in New York City. This was after he had broke up a trial with Nikki Cruz and some of the others that was on trial for murder. And he got thrown out because he felt he had to go tell them and about the Lord. Well, he took action. And, of course, that upset that thing. And then later on the street, he ran into Nikki Cruz. And I think it was a couple of Nikki's buddies that were on trial. I can't remember exactly who it was. But Nikki did eventually come to the Lord. But he had threatened to cut David Wilkerson up in little pieces. And David said, every piece will love you, Nikki. And so at any rate, that changed Cruz forever. He became a preacher, and he, last I heard, he was still alive and preaching. He had a ministry dealing with the same people that David Wilkerson dealt with. Because this was the anointing. See, the anointing breaks these bonds. And see, this is what God sent his son, to break the bonds of darkness. And that's the sword. See, you know, the devil's territory is not safe. Because it is going to be the Lord's. He's going to be gone. His power structure, his rebellion is going to be permanently removed. And there are going to be sons and daughters of God. And they're going to be with the Lord. And he's going to be with them. And that is the sword. Like Paul said, to some we are a savor of life. And to others we're a savor of death. To those who don't believe, we're a savor of death, because that's what we represent to them. And even over in the Muslim world, you know, Christians are hated and put down and shamed. But yet, make no mistake about it. You know, these same people who call the Christians and shame them, there's some of them that, the Muslims, and they're getting saved. And you find this all over the world, you find that. And during the persecutions throughout the Roman Empire, you found people that did the persecution that became Christians. See, that's the sword. And so when he says, I'm come to set a man at variance, he will. Well, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter. That doesn't change the truth just because you don't believe it. See, and the problem in the church is we're not supposed to be going along with the world. When the world rejects the cross, when the world rejects the morality, when the world rejects the efficacy and the inerrancy of Scripture, when they reject redemption, when they reject the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they reject the Father and the Son, this is Antichrist. This is where the sword comes in at, and this is what the battle is. And so the Lord says, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. And when I read this, I see America. Because a lot of people would much rather play church and be warm and cozy and have a sugar plum church and a sugar plum Jesus, you know, and have it cozy and nice and neat to where you're not offending anybody and everything is okay and there's no such thing as sin. And you just come into the church and however you want to do it, that's fine. Because if you were really carrying the cross, you'd be telling the truth. You're not doing anybody, especially the sinner, any favor by lying, by putting sugar. And that's why I call it a sugar plum church. They sugarcoat it. They put a little sugar over it and take away the bite and say, well, see, there's no edge to the sword. They got the sword, but they threw it over in the corner and the edge is dull. They're dull. They don't have the sharpness anymore. You got to have the sharpness of the Word of God. You got to have the sharpness of the Holy Spirit. You got to have the sharpness of the anointing. And you need to be able to know the difference between right and wrong and left and right and good and evil and that which is anointed and that which is not anointed and that which is accepted of God and that which is not accepted. But in the same token, we need to understand that there is grace involved and there is mercy involved. There's love involved. And we don't want anybody to perish. But yet there is that sword And the Lord says, if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me and do what I have done and possibly face the same thing I faced, then you're not worthy of me. Whoa, wait a minute. See, and that's where we wind up in a lot of trouble. Because we have that Laodicean church that pops up, that Sardis church. We have others, all seven of those churches, read them, and you're going to find out the Lord comes to them and says, well, I have this against you. And he does that on purpose because he wants them to repent. He doesn't want to judge them. He doesn't want them to lose. He's going to judge them either way because he is the judge. But he wants them to be able, to, when they do stand before him, to have everything fine. And so he does that, and we have those to prove that God wants to deal with the church, even if they are lukewarm, and he wants them to repent. And so he says, I charge you, I counsel you, to buy me of gold tried in fire. Now that is tribulation, that's persecution, that is heavy duty. You know, when you try something and you find out, you know, the consequences are not to your liking, you're not going to do it. You know, I remember when one of the lessons in the old days that the adults would use, and this is, of course, in the early days, they didn't have sulfur matches. And I mean the real old days. But, you know, there was that thing being raised that you wanted to go out and light a fire with matches. And they called it playing with fire. Playing with matches. Playing with fire. And if mom and dad found you playing with matches and lighting a fire, then they would take that match and light it. And they would just hold it over enough under your hand to let you feel the heat. And then they could blow that out, and then they could even touch you with it, and you knew that it was hot. Well, see, today, of course, they're not going to do that. They're going to call that child abuse, and people, you know, have been known to abuse their children. But you see, you're playing with fire. And, you know, when we talk about the Lord and especially about the kingdom of God, there's opposites, you know. And if you find your life, you're going to lose it. That's an opposite. If you find something, that doesn't mean you've lost it. If you find something, that means you lost it and you found it again. But no, he says if you find your life, you're going to lose it, but if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to find it. Well, how can you lose something and then find it? Well, see, in the natural, if you lose your car keys, there is a chance you could find them again. But what if you don't find them again? They're lost. Well, see, in the Lord's economy, when you lose your life for his sake, you find it. Because he is the resurrection and the life. If you lose the very life, the life blood, he can give you a new body. And see, this body of death, the flesh, is actually what it is. It is a body of death. It is a clay vessel, that we call it, that has to be put off. And it is not going to be in heaven. You will have a new body in heaven. What God is redeeming is not this fleshly body. He is redeeming your soul, your spirit. And so we take up our cross because we want to be worthy. That's what the Lord did. And that is, and when we talk about taking up the cross, the first thing we think about is dying on the cross. But see, God doesn't call everybody to die for him. If we come to that, we need to love him more than our lives. Revelation 12:11. They overcame him, meaning the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Now that is the final, I call them marching orders, the final one. You love not your life unto death. That's the way it is. You trust the Lord. But see, for many, you know, especially in America, in America, we haven't had to worry about dying for the Lord. The Lord wants the church to live for him here and to speak his word and to speak it truthfully. Now, in the course of America falling away, there could come a time when you will actually face that, where you will die for your faith. Now, see, over in other countries where there's Muslims and there's Muslim persecution, like in Pakistan, in Nigeria, and even in Kenya, the Sudan, Yemen, and in Iraq. We mentioned that last night on our news show, and they're even, you know, it happens over in Iran, it happens in Syria, it happened in Libya, happens in Egypt, and Indonesia, it happens in India with the Hindus against the Christians. I mean, they're dying for their faith. Dying. And they don't want to die, but they're living in a time where you know, and I quoted one of the head bishops of the church in Baghdad who said, you know, our lives are worth nothing. We're just as sheep to be slaughtered. Nobody cares. Kill a Christian. I mean, it doesn't matter. We don't like them. Kill them, because you're not going to get in trouble. You just kill them. They're worthless. And we see that type of thing, and we have seen it for some time. One of the worst modern genocides of Christians in modern history has been taking place. And the comfortable Christians in many areas now, you know, you haven't had to lose your life. So when we talk about taking up your cross and losing your life, you need to just take up the cross, and that is submission to the will of the Lord and following him. It's called self-denial. But beyond that, there is that point that it may lead you in an area where you may face losing your life. But if you do lose your life for his sake, you're not going to find it. Now, if you go out and murder somebody and, you know, the authorities catch you and put you on death row, and of course, you know, after all the pleas, it may be many, many, many years later, unfortunately, but you finally might end up, you know, meeting your maker through the judgment. Anymore, it's hard to find this because most people don't like the death penalty. But if you kill on purpose, cold-blooded murder, you should die. And there should not be any tears shed. Because we can go back even to the Old Testament and find, and of course this has to do with blood guilt. You know, you don't mess around with blood guilt. But, you know, eventually the judgment of God finds him. Now let's go on. Now here is Luke 21:33. Now, this is one that I've gone over before. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, this is directly in Luke 21. Now, of course, there's Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. These passages are the ones that the Lord went through with the apostles for the end of days. And this is one that, you know, everybody, if you're a Christian, you read these and you read these in the gospel and you kind of follow that and try to apply that to the end of days. There's a lot more to it than just these three chapters. There's a lot of other prophecies and areas that we look at when we're talking about prophecy in the end of days. So he says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For it shall come, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now you see, the judgment that's coming, the end of days, we're in that now. There's no mistaking. Now, the tribulation part, where we, and even the wrath of God, we're not there either. But we are in the end of days. We have been in one arena of the end of days since the apostles. It was the end of days because the Lord had come. But then you get into the end of the whole matter, the prophetic end of days scripture, where the Lord pointedly said, this is what's happening. See, now when he was here, it technically was the end of days. A lot of time had passed, but he was telling us about the end of days. And of course, he speaks of a society, and of course, even in his days, people can become overcharged with life itself, eating and drinking, paying your bills, doing all the things that humans do to live. And you get so caught up in that. And that's why he says, don't let your hearts be overcharged with this stuff. Because what happens is, out of the heart come the issues of life. And it's in the heart that we want to reserve a place for service to the Lord and serving him number one. And so you have to put in your life itself, that portion for Christ to rule, and the portion where you live on the earth and in society, and you have to plant the gospel feet and the call and the cross and everything that you are and what you believe on a level field where you walk for Christ. Now, in America, you know, it is, and I'm always referencing America. I don't reference Great Britain because I don't live there. I don't reference Canada because I don't live there, or Australia, or Japan. I can reference those in other ways. But see, when we talk about being overcharged, you can be so caught up with your job, with paying your bills, with keeping the bill collectors off, or even as you get older, you can be overcharged because your health is bad. You're old. You can't take care of yourself. You're not getting enough money to support yourself. So there's a lot of reasons why people can find themselves not only overcharged, but actually swamped with reasons why they're not thinking about the current day and age. Because one thing the Lord wants you to do, and the reason he's going through this, he wants you to watch. See, because there is a command in this section. See, and he's bringing it up because he knows what is in humans. He knows what's in man, that they have that tendency to do that. You know, and look what Peter and the boys were doing when he called them. You know, they were fishing. Matthew, the tax collector, you know, I mean, the apostles themselves had to give up everything, had to stop with what they're doing and follow the Lord. That's what they had to do. They were no more doing that. Now, of course, when the Lord was smitten and on the cross and in the grave for 3 days, you know, they went back to fishing and doing things. They didn't know what to do. And then the Lord showed up and regathered them all and gave them, you know, the thing, and he had told him that that's what would happen, and so, you know, they were able to re-institute what they were there for. Their vision had gone when he was smitten on the cross and went to the prison because, in the grave. And for most people, the grave is a prison. You're there until the resurrection, your soul either goes to Sheol, the place of the dead, or, you know, you go into Abraham's bosom at that time from the Old Testament, the Tanakh, you know. You'd go to Abraham's bosom, where the place of people that were good went to, you know. And so there was always that division. But see, with the Lord, there was this thing that they found out, that death isn't going to hold him. You know, that it wasn't the end of the vision, that he is the resurrection of the life. Remember, he told him when he rose Lazarus from the dead, he told, I think it was Martha, that I am the resurrection and the life. You know, the whole issue of raising Lazarus wasn't the point just to get him to live. The point was that death had no hold on Lazarus. That in fact, when it looked like death had him and he was gone forever, the resurrection and the life showed up by the name of Yahshua, Jesus, and rose him from the dead by the power of who he is. Now see, in the same way, we, as we live here, when we're born again, there is the resurrection and the life. We are resurrected from our old man. And we are given life, we are given his spirit, we're given his word, we have new desires. He binds the strong man within us and fills us with his spirit and gives us his word, his law, and this impetus to go forward. Now that's what God does. That's called being born again by the Spirit. And so he goes on to say, for as a snare, it'll come upon all them that come upon the face of the whole earth. And that is the end of days. So as you're getting all overcharged with life and you're paying your bills, all of a sudden a snare comes along. And what does it do? It says, wait a minute. Things are not like they used to be. Things have changed. And see, that's the way it's been in America for some time. It is hard in America to have a normal American day anymore because there's so many pressures. And here there is so many livid people. They are like paranoid schizophrenics. I mean, and some of the Hollywood types that hate Trump, they are just absolutely beside themselves. And they will tweet out, they will do whatever, they will get on talk shows, you know, and you had the other day a major... on a major talk show, liberal, but she was talking about how funny it would be for Trump and Pence and a lot of these others to die. And these are liberals, okay? They're doing this on a talk show. And, talk about disgusting. Talk about amoral, immoral, disgusting, evil, wicked, but they're laughing about it, you know, and they got a whole crowd of people that think this is just wonderful. And see, and this is what it's become. America, that used to have a civil tone towards people, and if you had someone that had an opposite opinion, you would at least listen to them and you could exchange opinions and go away disagreeably. Most of the time. But today, there is that division, and even with the election of Obama, there was a division. And Obama, on purpose, put in, I think it was 40-some czars, embedded within the government to push his program of globalism and common socialism and to open up the borders. And I write about this in my latest article, Americana, the social change one that Tower had talked about. And see, this is what it is. And this is what the Lord said. The end of days is a snare, folks. The Christians over in Iraq, for instance, they had lived in that area for a long time. We're talking decades. Their roots go back in that area. Same way with the Christians in Syria. And then, of course, Saddam was taken down. Assad lost his power. Gaddafi was removed. And you have then a change. A snare happened. And so the Christians who were able to live right next door to Muslims with no problem, had friends among them, suddenly found them their enemies. An enemy who would kill them. And this is what happened. And it continues to happen today. You know, David Wilkerson, many, many years ago, in one of his sermons, he was preaching about something like this. And this is about when a lot of this uprising of Muslims at a greater way happened again. And he was saying Muslims from all over the world now are finding a strange spirit among them that they can't resist. They suddenly get up, they quit their jobs and go commit jihad. And they can't resist it. That's the spirit that has grabbed a hold of them.
And it's exactly what it is. And see, that's the snare. And in America, your snare is, this is not America as it used to be. There are forces here that are going to take your country. And they, for the most part, have just about got it taken care of, because from the church to the Republicans and to anybody else, everybody was asleep at the wheel. And of course, as a snare, and it's going to come on all the nations, and your nations are going to be uncomfortable. It is not going to be normal. Things are going to be abnormal. It's going to be wickedness. It's going to be evil. And we know the characteristics of these end of days, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We know what men are going to be like, women are going to be like. It's an evil, evil time. And it's going to be on the face of the whole earth. And then you're going to have this sword that's going to divide. And you're supposed to take up your cross. And you have to speak the truth as a Christian. So you, and I'm talking about the gospel truth. And so you have the two meeting head on in the end of days. Now see, this is exactly what the Noah prophecy is about. You had a time when you had Noah who stood there with his family as truth, and he was the one God was dealing with to build the boat and save the animals, because the wicked wouldn't do it. And then there was the wicked, and you know, for all the time that Noah was building that boat, the wicked would have taunted him. And the wicked did not know till the flood came and took them away that it was really God's judgment. And this is the way it's going to be in these end days. These people, just like the days of Noah, are going to be eating and drinking, giving in marriage and taking in marriage and doing what humans have done since the beginning of time. They're not going to really understand that the snare has arrived. And it's going to hit them right square in the face. There will be no escape from what this thing. It's going to be global, and that's exactly where it's at today. It is global. Every nation on earth faces this. Every place on earth faces this. This is end of days. It is the snare. It is here. This is what the Lord says for you to do then. This is the command that you're to do. And I've said this many, many times. I've been preaching this command for years, 20 some years. The Lord showed me this, and I was to tell people. Now, this is what it says. Watch you therefore and pray always. Okay? You watch. What are you watching? You're watching what is happening in the world. You're watching what's happening around you locally. You watch your family. And it says, and pray always. Well, what are you praying for? He tells you that you, that means you, that means your family, that means your friends, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So there's two things. Counted worthy to escape these things, and they're going to come to pass, and also to stand before the Son of Man. Because it doesn't do any good to escape it if when you stand before the Son of a Man, you're evil and sinful, and you can't stand. Now see, let's get this straight. You're going to have the righteous and the wicked before the Son of Man. The righteous are going to be standing, praising, and worshiping Him. The wicked are going to be cowering fear, face down on the ground, pleading for mercy. If you think, and many, and I've heard the wicked many times, well, when I stand before God, I'm going to tell Him a thing or two. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're stupid. You're just flat-ass stupid. Excuse, but that's what it is. Society and wicked are stupid on these things. This is Almighty God. You think He's going to let a peon like you tell Him anything at His judgment? No way. See, He has already offered you mercy and you rejected it. You might think this is your country, but it's not. You might think this is your planet, but it's not. You might think Mother Nature planted all these things, but she didn't, and she don't even exist. It's in your mind, man. God created everything through Christ Jesus. John chapter 1 and 1 John 1. not to mention, you can go to in the beginning, God. John 1, in the beginning, God. So we pray, always. Father, I pray. And then you name the names. I name my family. I pray for those who listen to us. But you say this, that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now see, there's other scriptures you can pray too that follow this exact same line. But he tells you to watch and pray always. There's a conjunction in there. Watch, therefore, and pray always. It's not just pray always. It's watch, therefore, and pray always. So you're watching and praying always. Watching and praying always. You don't give up. And you're looking at what's happening in society. When you see evil coming, you're praying. And you've been praying. But you got to believe. See, God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. But as soon as they met tough things, you know, they started running out of water, started running out of food, they started whining. And then they'd get after Moses saying, Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. And then the rebellion got real bad and they wanted to appoint people to take them back into Egypt. And that's when Moses was on the mount. They wanted to leave because they were tired. Now see, in these end of days, you can't be like that. If you're going to have faith, you got to have faith. You got to believe. And you got to meet this snare. This end of days with faith, not fear. Only thing fear ever did was kill you. Fear will kill you. It'll kill your faith. Fear is not of God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Love, power, and a sound mind. That's what God gave us. And you just don't take these things willy-nilly. You rebuke those spirits when they come up to tempt you. You rebuke those thoughts in Jesus' name. And you stand there by faith, Christian. And you look at tomorrow and you have faith in your God because the snare is not going away and you are here. Your feet are planted. Like Paul says, having done all to stand, stand. He didn't say maybe stand. He said stand. And God says, watch therefore and pray always. Not whimpering. Not whining, oh God, why'd you bring us here? Oh God, we're going to die. Now see, the thing of it is, you may end up doing that sometime, thinking that, and in a brief moment. But you can always repent and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. I know that you will be with me and my family. But see, the thing of it is see, we've got Christians around the world who are in dire straits. And many of them are looking to the West, to the Christians in the West, and to the West to help them. Many of them wanted to come in during Obama's reign, but he didn't let them. We reported on this. This is fact. Obama and his minions let in a lot of Muslims and very few Christians. There's a reason for that. The same reason that Obama was opening up the southern borders to let everybody come in. Because he wants to fundamentally change the social structure in this country. See, and if they can't take over the country with the electorate that they have, then they open up the borders and allow others to come in willy-nilly, and they know that they'll vote for them because they got something for nothing. See, the problem you have in America, if you allow people to have America for nothing, they're going to treat it as nothing. You're going to have people that come in here and they don't want to be an American. They don't care about the flag. They could care less about men who died for this country and their freedom or anything else. They come in And they're going to bring their own cultures with them. The same culture that persecuted Christians or even oppressed them. Well, they want something like that. See, and that's just what Obama and his minions want to put. Now, see, they will portray that as social justice, but that's not social justice. That's called communism, socialism, fascism. And the very ones who are the fascists are calling the ones who are not fascists, fascists. It's a common term. It's shaming. I wrote about that today, and I'm not the author either of that. Noni Darwish, I quote her. She talks about that as well. And she should know. So you see, this snare is not going away. You being afraid is not going to help. You see, faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And make no mistake, you know, Peter talks about this part. For that righteous man dwelling among them, speaking of Noah, Lot, and also Noah would have had it, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now see, Lot and his wife and family in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you know, we might think their only sin was sodomy, but it wasn't, just because it's named Sodom. But there was pride. Pride goeth before a fall. And that's actually mentioned in Scripture. The pride of Sodom. Now see, you, as a believer living in these end days, you're going to see unlawful things, and we have in America, terrible things. Things that today are normal. Things today are unlawful in the sight of God, but this country has made them legal. And you're going to find in Revelation 18, Mystery of Babylon, in the first few verses, the prophetic language there points to a nation who is full of unclean spirits and demons who dwell there because it is safe for them to dwell there. They don't have to worry about being cast out anymore because Christianity has been overthrown in America. And they are able to do their things and actually relish what they're doing because it's legal now. And this is exactly the cup that the whore has in Revelation 17 that all the nations drink from. And her cup is full of a lot of different abominations. And see, at one time there was things in this country that were absolutely verboten. And whether you like it or not, they were forbidden by God and in our laws. Today, anything goes. The churches never stood up against this. And the churches today have been assimilated into this culture. And they are just like the culture. And there's very few churches that aren't tainted by this. And of course, you have those Christians who say, well, you're wrong, Watchman. No, I'm not. And really, it doesn't make any difference whether you believe me or not, because if you haven't, if it hasn't fully been revealed to you, then you're just going to be deluded until this happens even more. You may wake up one day before it's too late. But I can tell you that the churches in the West, not just America, You heard of the phrase hell to pay? Hell is here now. And I can tell you that the Antichrist, as you would call him, is actually the beast. He hasn't been revealed yet, but he is here on planet Earth right now. One day, you will know. See, and so when we talk about the Noahic prophecies, this is about a society that was so wicked it repented God. That's the exact same society we're in today. There's one difference. There's a lot of righteous Noahs around. There are. Although we talk about the church, that doesn't mean there's nobody within those churches that don't pray and weep and fast over the condition of their church. God isn't coming to save your man-made names of your churches and denominations. He's not coming to save your bricks and stones. He's saving his people. A brick isn't a people. The name of a denomination isn't a people. There's people in them. And the only reason these churches have had any semblance of religion at all is because at one time there were two or more gathered in the name of the Lord in that building, and God blessed them. God moves in the hearts of humans. You know, back in the Old Testament, it really bothered David that there was no house for the Lord God. And David had desired to get one. Now, he was able, you know, to get a lot of stuff accomplished. Defeat the enemies of Israel. Among other things. But he was never able to build the temple. But it was important for David to have a building for the Lord. Now see, with the revelation they had, they didn't really understand the fact that God dwells not in houses made by men's hands. He doesn't dwell in that. He blesses it with his Spirit. His Spirit is all-encompassing. That's why he's omnipresent. Now today, because of the new covenant, the work of Yahshua on the cross, he dwells within us. We are the temple of God. And so in this last days, there are a lot of his people facing what is happening. And we were warned. We were told. It's in prophecy. In 2 Peter 2:1 it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you," Peter says, "who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious, evil, deceitful ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken." Now see, that's the key, the way of truth. Now see, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul talks about a society that rejects the love of truth. The way of the truth and the love of the truth, those are two phrases meaning the same thing. The gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, redemption, and all that it entails that he gave to the apostles, and the apostles gave to the early church. Now see, this generation, according to Paul, they will reject the love of the truth. That is, the gospel, redemption, the relationship of the Father to the Son. The same thing Peter is talking about. These people will have false prophets. They'll bring in damnable heresies. They will deny the Lord, Jesus Christ, that actually bought them, saved them. And these will be people that came out of the mainline religion. And that's where the heresy comes from. The heresies in Christianity came from the top rung of the Bible schools, the seminaries. Just because they have a PhD, just because they have a theology degree, doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. That is for sure. Just because they know foreign languages and they can tell you what the original word in the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic are, that doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. Because Paul the Apostle knew all the languages. He knew. And also the high priest and the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin would have known the original tongues. Yet they didn't know the Lord. So you understand this. You're not going to know the Lord and know his truth just by the will of man, but it's through the Spirit of God. And see, these false prophets, and they've already done their work, folks. We're living in the deception right now. And these people have already got and established their denominations. They're already working their deceit out. And they're well accepted. And there's nothing you can do to change it. But see, it'll always be the way of the truth will be evil spoken of. Because it'll just get that way. Now, 2 Timothy 4:2, Peter says this. He tells Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now see, whenever you're going to tell people the truth, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting, you need longsuffering and you need the doctrine, the apostolic doctrine, I might add. But he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Now there are fables out there that are acting as regular Christianity. And we've got a passel of them. Fables. But they are established churches. And they've been that way for a long time. Now see, this is the Word of God. I'm not just making this up. This is the Word. Second Peter 2:3, it says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now see, this is the one thing. Peter warns, Jude warns. The apostles all warned in their own way. Now this is similar to what Jude would say, or did say. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And 2:9 of that same one says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now this is the day and age in which you're living. Now other time periods, we have had this. We've always had these things. But this is where they come to the top. Just like cream comes to the top in milk when you let it set. And my grandpa was a farmer. I helped him in the barn when we got the milk. Well, he had a separator. And we had a big jug of milk that he would put in the refrigerator. And sure enough, it set in there. And on the top, the first 4 inches on top of that, was heavy, thick cream. And see, now, the cream of these days is coddled. It's soured. It's no good. It's damnable. It's corrupt. See, the thing of it is, through covetousness, with feigned words, they shall make merchandise of you. They've been doing that for a long time. See, because to them, yeah, you're one of their supporters, you're one of their listeners, and you like the word they preached. But the bottom line of it is, they need the mammon. So they offer you things and appeal to your human nature and covetousness, making you want these things, so you will buy the merchandise and they will have money and get rich. I could give you names. There's quite a few of them. But you see who is mentioned here, Noah. If God spared not the angels, do you think he's going to look the other way with us? No. See, and if God judged the old world, but the Lord also mentioned it, there was a world of the ungodly back then, and the Lord said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to be a world of ungodliness. It's going to be anti-Christ, anti-Christian. It will also be anti-Israel. It will hate anything and everything to do with the Lord God. They will have their own God, however. They will bring in their new God. They will have a new faith. They will have a new fable to tell you. And they will have signs and wonders, and people will be deceived. Now, next week, we're going to get into Genesis 6. And this continues our study of the Noah prophecy. There is a reason that within this, we went basically to the New Testament first. But for you and I, next week we will get into this. And you know, the thing of it is, folks, this is not meant to scare you. And it's easy to get to that point where you let fear rule. We're here and we're to do this by faith. That's where we're at. God will see us through. The Noah prophecies. Stay tuned next week when we continue this end of days study. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless your people. Help them to understand it. Give them a spirit of peace. Lord, fill their hearts with your love. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, in the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, let it be done. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm back. I'm glad we're doing this. It's exciting. And to see it, you know, the days we're living in.
You know, it's true when you look at the snare part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I, for a long time, you know, we had expected the coming of the Lord. And then I can tell you that from the year 2000 forward, things changed.
Oh, I know. It's been crazy.
And
how fast it's changed.
Yeah, and as we went every year, things got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we're at. And so, you know, unfortunately, folks, what is coming upon America eventually is something I don't even like to talk about. You can ask Tower.
That's right. not fun.
I don't even like to remember that part, but I do. It's not going to be, you're not going to want to be here. Let me put it that.
Oh, amen.
But I believe that the Lord will be with us. I know He will. He will make a way. And no matter what happens, we will be overcomers.
That's right. Amen.
And with that, we're going to have to close.
Okay. Well, be sure and join us on Sunday for Healthy Young Living, our Healthy Young Living show, or Living Young as You Grow Old. We'll spotlight an essential oil and have other tips for living healthy, eating healthy, and foods to stay away from, and being safe. So with that, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. We love you. We pray for you. We truly appreciate all you do, and we appreciate you, and God bless you, and have a wonderful weekend.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you on the other side next time. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.